Will House please come to order? Will the members please register their presence by voting? Will the clerk please take the quorum?
37 present, 3 absent.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, Representative Lutine is excused from the call of the House today. I'll move and ask unanimous consent that Representatives Meekins and Gardner will be excused from the call of the House today.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Will the House please rise for prayer by Captain Herbert Miller?
Almighty God and ever-loving Heavenly Father, we come with adoration and thanksgiving for your blessings you have bestowed upon us. We pause in the gratitude and to acknowledge your help in all that we have to do. We thank you, O God, for this unlimited blessing, not the least of which is the freedom that we enjoy, the privilege of living in this great state. Help us not to misuse of this freedom. Bless our leaders not to seek the good of any faction, but of all citizens. With the high vision of righteousness, we ask in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Representative Bennett. Will the clerk please certify us to correctness of the Daily Journal?
As Chief Clerk, I certify us to the correctness of the Journal for the 46th day in House Supplement number 24.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent this body approve the Journal as certified by the Chief Clerk for the 46th day and for House Supplement number 24.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Brings us down to introduction of guests. Are there any guests for introduction to the chambers? Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to introduce the gentleman this morning who probably should be introduced by some of the people from Anchorage, but he's a man who has a long history in city government as a city manager, served in numerous communities around the state, and probably trained more councilmen and managers than almost anybody else in the state. He was a city manager in Ketchikan some 21 or 2 years ago when I first became a city councilman. Today he's the general manager of Trick 9 and Hayes of Anchorage, Mr. Robert Sharp.
Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I have a constituent in the gallery B this morning. He's a member of the Police Practice Commission. He's also an all-national committeeman for the American Legion, incidentally, where there's going to be a reception tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock. And he's a good friend and a constituent of mine, Tiger Inman.
Representative Osi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have two constituents, Gally A, down here on the Capitol Move, mayor of that two boroughs, Ron Larson, and Assemblyman Bill Blondie.
Are there other guests for introduction to the House? Messages from the governor.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, President Rader appointed the following members to special committees. Special Committee on Alcoholism, Senator Coletta Chairman, Senator Ray, Senator Ziegler, Senator Hackney, Senator Ferguson. Special Senate Employment Resources and Opportunities Committee, Senator Sumner Chairman, Senator Sackett, Senator Ziegler, Senator Poland, Senator Ferguson. The Senate has passed the following and they are transmitted herewith. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 1 amended by Orsini, relating to the development and presentation of proposals for zero-based budgeting.
State Affairs and Finance.
Senate Bill Number 123 by Ferguson, Ray, Sackett, Tillion, Rohde, Kurtula, Holman, Croft, and Poland, an act relating to artwork in public buildings and facilities.
State Affairs and Finance.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Resources has had House Concurrent Resolution 8 relating to the establishment of a task force to study legislative solutions to anticipated conflicts between interests desiring successful management of hatchery and wild stocks of salmon under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, chairman, concurred in by Snyder, Bennett, Eliason, Urien, Akers, Miller, and Osterbach. House concurrent resolution 8 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on State Affairs is at House Bill 169, a special appropriation to the Department of Public Works for an ATCA airstrip feasibility study under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Nackack, vice chairman, concurred in by Nackack, Kelly, McKinnon, and Miles, and Lathine. House Bill 169 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on Finance is at House Bill 220, a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources for the Iditarod Trail Race under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 220 with the same title and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Rode, Haugen, Guy, Schaefer, Swanson, Buchholz, Duncan, Greening, and Cooper. House Bill 220 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of resolutions.
House concurrent resolution number 31 by Dankworth, Hayes, Kelly, Lathine, and Phillips, relating to the inclusion of correctional industry in any study of corrections.
Judiciary and finance.
House joint resolution number 25 by Kelly, Hayes, and Malone, relating to the support of the All-Alaskan Natural Gas Transportation System by the California Legislature.
It's the last minute addition. Be referred to the State Affairs Committee.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of bills.
House Bill number 269 by Severson, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Public Works for the enlargement of Nornick Lake at Naknek and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
House Bill 270 by Rode, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Public Works to construct a pioneer's home at Homer and providing for an effective date.
HESS and finance.
House Bill 271 by Buchholz, an act relating to the Motor Vehicle License Act.
HESS.
House Bill 272 by Buchholz, an act relating to reexamination of licensed drivers.
Judiciary.
House Bill 273 by Parr, Bennett, Brown, Carpenter, and Smith, an act relating to third-class boroughs.
HESS. I'd like to ask the chairwoman of the Local Government Committee to take a look also at House Bill number 273. It seems to be primarily concerned with the educational function. Are there further bills for introduction?
House Bill 274 by Malone, an act repealing the Alaska Salary Commission and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary and finance.
House Bill 275 by Malone, an act relating to compensation of executive officers and members of certain boards and commissions of the state and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary and finance.
House Bill 276 by Malone, an act relating to legislative pay and allowances and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary and finance.
House Bill 277 by Malone, an act relating to the amount of legislative per diem.
Judiciary and finance.
House Bill 278 by Malone, an act providing for geographic cost of living salary differentials for judicial officers and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary and finance.
House Bill 279 by Malone, an act relating to judicial compensation and providing for an effective date.
Judiciary and finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us down to consideration of our daily calendar. Clerk, please read the first item on the daily calendar.
House concurrent resolution number 28 by Miller and Duncan, noting the retirement of Vivian Kirkvold from state service.
Clerk, have any amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Question is, shall House concurrent resolution number 28 pass the House? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Let the record show that House concurrent resolution number 28 has passed the House unanimously. Would the clerk please read the next item on the daily calendar?
House Bill number 108 by Parr, an act relating to third-party beneficiaries of express or implied warranties. The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 108 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, chairman, concurred in by McKinnon, Chatterton, Bradley, and Parr. signing Do Not Pass, Carpenter, and Hayes. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 108 under consideration. Three of the members of the committee recommend it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, Chairman, signing Do Pass, Gardner, Brown, and Rudd. Having no recommendation, Specking, Eliason, signing Do Not Pass, Dankworth. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, if there are no amendments, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Bill 108 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Will the clerk please read House Bill 108 in third reading?
House Bill Number 108 by Parr, an act relating to third-party beneficiaries of express or implied warranties.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, this bill is identical to the bill that was passed by this House 2 years ago, went to the Senate, and sat there for a year and a half without getting through. Trying it again and see if we can persuade the Senate to look at it a second time. The bill, the language of the bill may be a little confusing, and I'd like with the permission of the members to give a simple example of what it would do, what the present law is, and what changes would be made. Suppose that in your house you have an electric percolator of something of the sort which is under warranty and it has a short in it. Your wife gets her hand burned or gets hurt. Under present law, you could the warranty is in effect. If you had a guest in your home, still the warranty is in effect. If there was a visitor who happened to be somehow hurt by it, a visitor in your house who is not a guest for any reason, would know there's no coverage. There's no coverage for any property damage. That's the existing law. What the bill does is change three of those things. Suppose that your wife works for a firm of lawyers, which is a professional corporation downtown, and she has a percolator there. Most of us have percolators in our offices and so forth for coffee. If she were hurt, then of course she would be, the warranty is still in effect and she could still recover. But if she had a friend who worked in the office who was hurt, under present law she could not recover. Under this bill she could. If there was damage to property, if the short caused a fire, under existing law there's no recovery because there's no property damage possible. Under the proposed bill there could be recovery. And the final thing is that under the existing law it has to be a natural person. So as I said a while ago, you had a corporation here. A corporation could recover under the change under the bill as proposed. This bill very simply expands warranties to cover what I think are reasonable expectations.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, when we were debating this bill in the House Judiciary Committee, I asked Mr. Parr a question which he reminded me I had previously asked 2 years ago in the same committee on nearly the same bill. And of course, my concern, looking at the title 4505, that's the Uniform Commercial Code, and there is a need to maintain that as uniform throughout the some 51 American jurisdictions who have adopted it. But he pointed out to me in answer to that question that this language apparently is either alternative B or C anyway. Alternative language that it has been promulgated by the Uniform Law Commissioners, so that it apparently is the law in some of the states who have adopted the Uniform Commercial Code and does not deviate in an unexpected way not known to businessmen and commercial lawyers in other jurisdictions. So on that basis, there's not any violation of the policy behind the UCC, and the bill itself is good public policy for the reasons indicated by Mr. Parr, and therefore I support the legislation.
Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, I'm opposed to House Bill 108. What this is doing is expanding the opportunity for litigation, and instead of protecting the consumer, it's hitting him right in the pocketbook, because there have been some examples here recently of some tremendous settlements in court relating to this type of thing. And all you're doing is just opening up the gates and leaving it wide open for litigation. And the cost of all of this is eventually going to wind back as a cost to the consumer. So from that point of view, we're not really getting the consumer protection that one might imply from this bill. We presently have a workman's comp bill that essentially has no limits. There's no limit to some of the benefits. We're right now, or soon we'll be taking a look at that that bill to try to put some limits on the liability. I would propose that there is adequate public protection as the law now exists, and I would therefore urge defeat of this bill.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I agree that there have been very large judgments in some cases that have arisen recently throughout the United States, but in nearly all cases, those have been matters arising in what is called tort theory, that is, wrongs which are remedied in court that do not arise from contract. That has nothing to do with this legislation. This legislation relates to remedies at contract under express or implied warranties. As attorneys know, and other people who've been involved with the justice system know, that conjures up a much more limited set of rules regarding damages in any kind of a lawsuit, and it does not even address the actions which arise in tort.
Ready for the question. The question is, shall House Bill number 108 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Twenty-six yeas, 11 nays, 3 excused.
So House Bill number 108 has passed the House. Representative Hayes.
I'd like to give notice of reconsideration on House Bill 108.
Clerk, please note Mr. Hayes' reconsideration. House Bill 108. Representative Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, could we revert to introduction of guests, please?
Hearing no objection, we'll revert to introduction of guests. Mr. Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery A and Gallery B, both, I believe, we have some young men with us today who are on their annual visit and their report to the governor. There's a number of scouts in the gallery, and I'd like to read their name, and as I read their names, if they could stand up. We have with us Brent Dunn, Chris Klinkenhammer, Timmy Keppel, Tommy Germain, Mark Huett, Matt Haywood, Peter Larson, Robin Terrell, Sean Hansinger, Mike Miller, Mike Akins, Chris Gills, Mark Looney, and the scout executive with him is Zach Russell.
Are there other guests for introduction? Representative Rudd?
Mr. Speaker, may we be at ease?
Will the House please stand at ease? Will the House please come back to order? Before the at ease, we had reverted to the introduction of guests. Are there any further guests for introduction? If not, we'll continue with the regular order of business, which is consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the next item on the daily calendar?
House Bill number 110 by Malone, an act relating to municipal planning and zoning powers. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had House Bill 110 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Rudd, Chairman, concurred in by Rudd, O.C. Kelly, Snyder, Smith, and Phillips. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Bill number 110 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Will the clerk please read House Bill number 110 in third reading?
House Bill number 110 by Malone, an act relating to municipal planning and zoning powers.
House Bill number 110 is before you in third reading. Question is, shall House Bill number 110 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, no nays, 4 excused.
So House Bill number 110 has passed the House. Would the clerk please read the next item on the daily calendar?
House Bill number 122 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act making a supplemental appropriation to the Alaska Pipeline Commission and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 122 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 122 with the same title and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred in by Greening, Duncan, Buchholz, Swanson, Meekins, Guy, Cooper, and Freeman. Having no recommendation, Schaefer, Haugen, and Rode. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Clerk, of any amendments to the committee substitute?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for House Bill 122 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Will the clerk please read committee substitute for House Bill number 122 in third reading?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 122 by the Finance Committee. An act making a supplemental appropriation to the Alaska Pipeline Commission and providing for an effective date.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 122 is before you in third reading. Mr. Cooper.
Mr. Speaker, the proposed remark committee with this appropriation, the legislature during the last year expressed a lot of concern over the fact that the Alaska Pipeline Commission, which among other things, was charged with the duties of preparing the state's case when the pipeline tariff is determined by the Interstate Commerce Commission. The legislature was concerned by the fact that they didn't appear to be doing very much. Personally, through a lot of action here on the floor, the Pipeline Commission was reconstituted, and they have to move very quickly in order to properly present the state's case before the Interstate Commerce Commission. And what they do, they actually collect the information that will be used by the Attorney General's office, or in this case, by the attorneys who are retained by the Attorney General's office for the purpose of presenting a case. Naturally, there's a lot of ground to cover in a very short time. After some consideration, it was determined that the Pipeline Commission would retain an attorney by the name of Terry Linsner, who is mostly known at this point as a Watergate investigator. He's extremely competent. His staff is very competent. They are familiar with rate-making cases such as this one. And after a lot of negotiation, both by the Alaska Pipeline Commission and by the Attorney General, who personally negotiated the contract, the contract was approved. It calls for an amount which is $806,000, which will go to Linsner. Of that amount, only $656,000 will need to go into this supplemental appropriation because the rest of it was in the budget. In addition to that money, which is allocated to the purpose of that contract with Mr. Linsner, the supplemental includes $166,000 from Michael Gilio, technical associates in Washington, D.C. This is an economic consulting firm, and they are in the process of working out new approaches for rate-making theories before the ICC. Incidentally, the history of the ICC is that no pipeline tariff has ever been fought at all before that commission, even though that's a quasi-judicial body. Essentially, what's been done in the history of the ICC is that the oil companies or the pipeline companies have come in and said, this is what we want, and the ICC says, well, okay, this is what you get. In our case, the state has not only a legitimate interest, but
1 cent difference in the pipeline would cost the state around $850,000 per year. So that if this commission and this investigator can save us 1 cent, we're talking about somewhere in the neighborhood of $18 million over a 20-year period. The other appropriation is $21,000 so that the Alaska Pipeline Commission can hire a CPA and an engineer for its staff, and they do need those extra positions, at least for the purpose of setting up this investigation.
Representative Specking.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a couple of comments. It appears to me that over the past year or two, we've seen a substantial amount of criticism of the Alaska Pipeline Commission, much of it, in my view, unjustified, in that I think that the failure was principally our failure in not giving that commission the funding nor the direction that it needed. And I'm pleased that we finally decided that we're going to take this responsibility on ourselves and use the commission, which we had failed to do, in my view. And I just would like to comment additionally that while I'm not thoroughly convinced that we're going to have much or a substantial amount of fluid influence on the interstate rates, I'm certain that we can get our money back out of any change that might occur on the intrastate rates. So I'm in support of the appropriation.
Representative Kelly.
Mr. Speaker, I've got a problem with this bill. The governor came in and asked for $500,000, and obviously the administration felt that was sufficient. I'd like to ask why the Finance Committee felt that they had to add another $343,700.
Representative Cooper. Representative Rode.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It seems, though, that each year we're faced with some supplementary appropriations, and believe me, this is a whopper. And I don't know how many more supplemental appropriations are going to come in, but I have some real mixed feelings about this one. But giving the Alaska Pipeline Commission sufficient funds to study the intra-pipeline tariffs, which are the pipelines within the state, and I understand there's about two now, and I'm sure we're going to have plenty of them in the future. I have no qualms about giving them the money for that function. But about $600,000 of this, I understand, is for us to monitor or study the tariff rates that are going to be done by the ICC, and that's their responsibility. The ICC will make this study and come up with a rate tariff, and there's nothing that we can do about it. This was admitted that there's nothing that we can do about it. I just hate to see us to duplicate. It's really a duplicating process of what the federal government is going to do for nothing. I don't say nothing. We're going to pay for it. We're going to pay for it twice. So I'm not in favor of giving money to help or to, we'll say, monitor. I would say monitor. I would be willing to monitor some of their findings, but I would hesitate to have us to pay for money that's going to be merely a duplication from the ICC, because we are going to get our records for the cost on this pipeline from the same source that the ICC is going to get their records. There's no other place to get them. Thank you, sir.
Representative Cooper. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I don't want to lie down and play dead and let the federal government run over me, no matter what agency we're before. Now, we have spent, and prior legislatures have spent over the years, many tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars for representation of the state of Alaska in cases of appropriate situations before the Civil Aeronautics Board and the Alaska Service Investigation in 1969, 70, and 71. For the last 4 years, before the Federal Communications Commission in the applications relating to satellite telecommunications authority, resulting in very unusual departures by a federal administrative agency contrary to its prior history. They were so surprised at the kind of representations we did, we came and did something that no other state had ever done before. And I think the same thing can happen here at the Interstate Commerce Commission. But the difference is that in those with those other federal administrative agencies, we were talking about matters involving quality of service or tariff figures that were far, you know, just minuscule compared to the dollar figures involved in the pipeline. And I think that if we're going to lie down and play dead, have the Interstate Commerce Commission go along with whatever the pipeline companies want, we deserve what we get, but I don't want that result. I think we should vote for this legislation.
Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, several days ago we passed some legislation, or at least talked about it, regarding D2 lands, and in that discussion, I think it was uniform our distrust of Interior and certain members of Congress in the lower 48, and Alaska has had a tradition of distrust with the full-fledged department, in this case the Department of Interior. We don't trust them, and everybody is well aware of just about all these quasi-judicial bodies, ICC and FCC and all that, and most learned scholars have typified them with a certain degree of lack of credibility, stating that in many cases they're controlled exclusively or greatly in part by the industry that they seek to represent. So I think it's totally inconsistent for us not to try to do what we can from a states' rights point of view in protecting our interests, our economic interests.
Representative Rode and Representative Kelly.
Well, I only have one question about this, and I'll address it to you. Mr. Brown, for instance, if the ICC comes up with a tariff rate of $5.10 a barrel, and the study that the state makes comes up with $5.15 a barrel, who's going to win?
Representative Kelly.
Mr. Speaker, I've heard some talk here about trust and who can we trust, and we all know we can't trust the federal government. Well, I think when you're talking in terms of words like trust, I think you have to look within the state. And I've got another question, and that question is, how many Alaskans is this $843,700 going to employ?
Representative Brown?
Well, I'll have to try to answer both those questions. For one thing, my understanding of this appropriation is to aid the state of Alaska in presenting a case that is in the interest of its citizens before the Interstate Commerce Commission. Now, there are all kinds of games to be played in these tariff cases, these rate cases I've seen done in other administrative agencies. I presume the same kind of bookkeeping games to be played in the in this area. And I'd be very surprised if the result indicated by Mr. Rowe would occur. But in the second case, with response to the question of the gentleman from Anchorage, if you look at the amount that our state treasury will be depleted if there is an unreasonably high tariff set for the Trans-Alaska pipeline, the amount of state money income to the state of Alaska for its own royalties and taxes, if we continue the same basis on which we determine severance taxes, is going to be enormous. And that will mean that we will either have to cut back necessary programs, not be able to provide programs that are thought by our constituents to be necessary, or to increase taxes for the people that the gentleman from Anchorage would like to get jobs for. That's some kind of relief we can do. But of course, there's another answer to that, and that is that, of course, spending activity by the state of Alaska has an effect on the economy as well as spending activity by anyone else, and that's limited also. But that's more in Mr. Meekin's purview as an economist, and he's not here right now. I can't fathom why anybody would oppose such a thing.
Representative Specking.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, Mr. Speaker, let's get this thing down to the grassroots. Every one of us has been accosted by some constituent or another who has talked about the waste on the pipeline and in the construction of that pipeline. Now, what are you going to do about it? The only opportunity that we have to get a state's point of view into the allowable costs that will go toward the rate making by the ICC is through the Alaska Pipeline Commission. If you're going to reply to those constituents' desire that you take a look at the cost of construction of that pipeline, the only chance you're going to have any effect on that is to push that green button. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Rode.
I'll ask a question again, Mr. Speaker. The ICC comes up with a figure of $5.10 for the tariff on the pipeline, and the Alaska Pipeline Commission comes up with $5.15. Who wins?
Representative Cooper. Representative Carpenter.
Mr. Speaker, regarding House Bill 122, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to abstain from voting. Mr. Speaker.
There is objection to your motion, Mr. Carpenter.
I want the record to show that I am an employee of Alyeska Pipeline Service Company, builder of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline System, although at this time I am on a leave of absence without pay.
Representative Freeman. House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? Before the at ease, we had a motion placed by Mr. Carpenter asking that he be allowed to abstain from voting on question before the House, House Bill 122. On Rule 35B of the Joint Rules of the Alaska Legislature, unanimous consent is required before such a motion can be adopted. There is objection to the motion. Is the objection maintained?
Yes.
If the objection is maintained, then we do not have unanimous consent and the motion would fail, and that'll be just simply the ruling of the chair unless membership desires otherwise. under Rule 35B, since we do not have unanimous consent, Mr. Carpenter will be required to vote on the main question. Representative Specking.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to make a couple of comments about the request by Representative Carpenter to abstain. While I can appreciate his making that motion, I'd like to state that I personally feel very comfortable that Mr. Carpenter would make whatever decision that he made in voting based on Larry Carpenter's views and not those of the corporation for that he works for. And while I don't want to deny a member a privilege that he sought, I would like for him to understand that, at least in my view, I would feel very comfortable with him voting on the issue. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
That brings us back to the main question, which is the question before the House. Shall committee substitute for House Bill number 122 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, 9 nays, 3 excused.
So committee substitute for House Bill number 122 has passed the House. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the roll call on committee substitute for House Bill 122 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted.
Speaker, may we be at ease?
House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Brings us down to the end of today's calendar. Down to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the House? Representative Chatterton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to serve notice of reconsideration on House Bill 122.
Clerk will please note Mr. Chatterton's reconsideration to House Bill number 122. Representative Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Byrne be excused from the call of the House on Monday, February 28th.
Hearing no objection, the member will be excused on the date indicated. Representative Greening.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to waive referral of House Concurrent Resolution 27, which calls for the governor to look into the financing of the All-Alaska Gas Pipeline. And ask for a waiver of that referral.
Okay. HCR 27 has been referred to the Special Committee on the Royalty Gas Sale and the House Finance Committee. So unless there's objection, we'll waive the referral to the Special Committee. The bill can be considered by the Finance Committee. Also at this time, I'd like to change the referral on House Bill number 273, dealing with the powers of third-class boroughs, introduced this morning. It's probably a bad call in the first place. Drop the HESS referral and refer the bill instead to the Committee on Community and Regional Affairs. Representative Urien? House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Also under unfinished business, I don't have the letter here, but we've been invited by the Sitka Pioneers Home to send a delegation down to visit the home and inspect the situation there. And in years past, it's been a tradition, as I understand, or at least a practice, to send a committee down there. I'd like this time to appoint a committee consisting of Representative Elias and his chairman, myself, and Representative Urien, to respond to the invitation. If there are other members who are interested, I'd like to know about it. And tentative plan would be to attempt to visit the Pioneers Home in Sitka sometime next weekend. Is there any more unfinished business to come before the House? Special orders. Announced, Representative Chatterton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like the privilege of the House to speak on the subject of Salem witches.
Representative Chatterton, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Earlier this week on this floor, while a representative from Fairbanks brought up the subject of Salem witches, I liked what he said. It is an archaic situation. And I agreed with what he said in regard to Salem Witches. And I've given this body a chance by asking for reconsideration of House Bill 122 to again consider, do we want to proliferate by setting forth money to conduct a witch hunt? Thank you.
Representative Cooper.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like the privilege of the floor to respond to the comment.
Without objection, Mr. Cooper, you have the floor.
I think perhaps you might take a look at the vote today, and I think it might indicate who's looking at the public interest and who isn't.
Are there any more special orders? Will House please stand at ease? House, please come back to order. We're still under special orders. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like the privilege of the floor to comment on the booklet that was placed on our desk today.
Mr. Brown, you have the floor.
Mr. Speaker, I greatly appreciate the service provided by the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce in making these folders available. I think they do a very good job, and they advise people how to contact legislators. But I'm really wondering about some of the things that did appear in here. For instance, under the description of one member of the other body, they did misspell Anchorage. Perhaps they don't have much membership from that community. I don't know. And also, they have, as the presiding officer of the other body, a name that might well be a device used in finding fish or submarines rather than the proper spelling of his name. I'm not quite sure. Maybe they don't know him all of that well. But in general, I appreciate the service they do provide in this, and my only complaint in previous years has largely been that they don't seem to make enough of the thing.
Representative Rode.
Under special orders, Mr. Speaker, on the committee that was appointed this morning to visit the Pioneer's home, I noticed there were three young squirts included in that. And I'd think that somebody should go over there that's about ready for it.
I'd like to announce that Representative Rode is appointed to the committee to call on the Sitka Pioneers. So, Representative Eliason?
Mr. Speaker, I think it should be a condition attached to that, provided he comes back.
I'll have to think about that one. But are there any more special orders? I'd like to be allowed privilege from the chair of reverting to introduction of guests. There's some people here in Gallery A that I'd like to introduce to the House. I'd like to introduce Dr. John Wilsey, Mr. Tom Wagner from the Kenai Peninsula Community College, and Carolyn Floyd, director of the Kodiak Community College in Gallery A. Regular order of business now would be to proceed with the announcement of committee meetings. Representative Cooper.
The Nats will meet at 2 o'clock this afternoon to discuss the University of Alaska budget.
Representative Bradley.
State Affairs, Mr. Speaker, at 1:15, the capital move legislation.
Representative Brown.
Telecommunications tomorrow at 2 o'clock in room 207. Non-members, if you're interested also to come in, we'll be talking about the matters that have happened in Washington, D.C. in the last couple of days involving regulation of telecommunications that affects Alaska and other matters that staff has been working on to report to the committee.
Representative Duncan.
Mr. Speaker, Budget and Audit Committee meeting on adjournment in the House Finance Room.
Representative Rudd.
Mr. Speaker, Community and Regional Affairs will meet Monday morning at 9 o'clock. We'll take up House Bill 219, Permits and Fees for Construction of Onshore Facilities Associated with the Outer Continental Shelf.
Representative Osterbach.
Mr. Speaker, House Resource Committee will meet today at 1:15, and the bills will be taken up as House Bill 184 on sheepfish sale purchase, House Bill 83 on fishery entry interim permits transfers, and House Bill 250 on fish and game advisory committees.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, House Committee will meet today at 3 o'clock. We have House Joint Resolution 9, Implementation of National Health Insurance. And time permitting, we will also take up House Bill 99, Liability for Expense of Hospitalization of the Mentally Ill. And then at 7:30 tonight, Mr. Speaker, the committee with also the Finance Subcommittee on Education will be briefed by the department on problems in the rural educational attendance areas.
Representative McKinnon.
Commerce will meet Monday morning at 8. We'll be taking up House Bill 17, Security Deposits, and House Bills 26 and 155, both dealing with surplus heat resources.
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. During this entire week, the Joint Judiciary Committee meetings have been meeting on the revised criminal code. On Monday and Tuesday, we had sessions on murder. Yesterday, we had a session on kidnapping. And today at 3 p.m. in room 207 of the Assembly Building, we'll be having sex in the Judiciary Committee.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent to return to whatever part of the calendar that would allow me to complain about the PA system. About half the time ever since we started this year sounds like everybody's talking into a bucket of water, and we haven't had this problem in the past. I wonder if there's anything can be done about it or is going to be done about it.
And Mr. Freeman, we've been trying to get the problem straightened out since the beginning of the session, and I'm not sure whether it's a lack of competent electronics people here or whether the system's so bad it needs to be totally replaced, but it seems like it's more like the latter, and that I'm not sure that we will be able to solve it before the end of the session. We'll keep trying. He has worked on it from time to time. Are there other announcements? Representative Miller.
Speaker, first I'll ask Mr. Speaker that Representative Nakak be excused from the call of the House on Monday.
Hearing no objection,
Mr.
Nakak will be excused.
About three items to report. Remind you again of the, particularly for the women members of the legislature and also for wives of legislators. There will be the Republican Women's Club tea on the 26th in the Governor's Mansion from 2 to 4. Remind the members of the American Legion and Veterans of Foreign Wars legislative reception upon 339 Franklin Street. That'll be on the 26th tomorrow from 7 to 11 p.m. There's another very nice function, Mr. Speaker, that's not on the calendar today, but I would like to mention it, and it's a little bit in conflict with the American Legion and Veterans Foreign Wars reception, but I'm sure members can make both functions, and that is the Juno Receiving Home Clinket Potlatch, which will be held in the Gold Room at 8 p.m. Saturday night. There is a charge for that because it goes for an extremely worthwhile cause, the Juno Receiving Home. I'm not exactly sure right this moment what the charge is, but if you could contact Jim Duncan, I think his wife is very active in that, and he could give you further details. If there's no further business to come before this body, Mr. Speaker, I'll ask that we stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Monday morning.
Hearing no objection, House is adjourned.